Sometimes the wounds of abuse never show up on the skin. They show up in a much deeper place that cause even greater damage. So how do you know if you are in an emotionally abusive relationship, and what do you do if you are?
Let's see what the Bible has to say about that. We want to welcome you to today's podcast. We're so glad that you are here. We would love it if you would like and subscribe on all the streaming platforms.
Yeah.
And we're so glad you're here.
That's right. Glad to have Roseanne with us today.
Me too.
Truett's out. So,
yes.
A very difficult subject today. Very sensitive subject, but one that's important, I think, today for the church, for believers in Jesus to talk through. We're going to talk about emotional abuse. And how do you know if that's happening to you, and what do you do about it? Sometimes people call this psychological abuse, but I think as you see today, we're going to talk and frame it more in this line of emotional abuse.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of pain and emotion obviously attached to this subject. I think I could venture to say, you can tell me if this is true or not, everybody at some point has probably experienced something along this line.
Yeah, I would agree. I think so.
And some people much more than others.
Very much, yeah.
It's not a subject talked about in church very much. It's one of those that doesn't flow real well in a Sunday morning message, you know, into a mixed crowd, but I think it's important nonetheless because it's actually addressed in Scripture quite a bit, the idea of someone being oppressed and crying out to God and Him being a deliverer. I mean, that is the constant cry of the Scripture. That's just the message of the Scripture. I was reading this morning, even in Genesis, where a brother kills a brother and God says his blood cries out to me.
Yeah.
It's this whole idea that throughout Scripture, you just see the pattern over and over again. Someone is in an oppressed situation, they cry out to God and God is the deliverer. So the sad thing is, because there hasn't been much teaching on the subject, it's left people to feel like the only option I have is just to stay in this.
Yeah.
In fact, it's my Jesus follower responsibility.
That's my duty. Yeah.
It is to stay in it. What was the phrase you told me today about my lot?
The lot, it's my lot in life. It's not a lot, but it's my life.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah. We talked about another one that sometimes you'll hear people say is, well, you just got to fake it till you make it kind of deal. And so it's often within this context that I hear people say those kind of things is, well, you know, it's pretty terrible what I'm going through, but, you know, it's my lot in life.
It's kind of thing. So, it is what it is. Just suffer through it.
But the Bible actually offers a lot of wisdom and direction for people in the subject. So today we're going to talk about how to recognize that, whether it's in your marriage, family, or even some friendships that you may have or have had.
Yeah.
It's one of those subjects, I think people talk about abuse and there's an automatic go-to for that.
Yeah, they automatically think that it's physical abuse.
Right.
Yes. And if you're in a physically abusive relationship, you are held against your will, you're hit, you're kicked, you're slapped, you're punched. So many terrible, terrible things. People grab you, grabs you. Yeah. Things are thrown at you, attempted to choke you, threatened with physical violence, physical activity, force you to do things that are against your will that you do not want to do.
Yep.
And this can also include sexual abuse as well.
Right. It's true.
Yeah.
If you're in any of those situations, the clear word here at the beginning is you need to get out of those immediately and seek help.
Yes.
Physical abuse is not really the topic today, but I did want to kind of
cover it
line that out up front here. You know, if you're in that situation, you definitely need to get out.
Yes, you do.
And I think as we find today, you know, even some of the situations regarding emotional abuse, we're going to have some of that same counsel. But I think, you know, it's tough because you think about physical abuse, it leaves scars, and you can see them. Other people can see them. It's easily identifiable. We start talking about emotional abuse. You're talking about something that you don't see on the outside.
Yeah.
And sometimes for that reason, others obviously don't see it.
Yeah.
But then it's one of those things that becomes something we dismiss because we don't see the
or
scars.
Or minimalize it.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So let's start today with a definition. If we're thinking about, you know, an abusive relationship just in general or an oppressive relationship, I think we define that as a relationship in which one person, is exercising hurtful, I guess it could be more than one person,
yeah.
is exercising hurtful or damaging power or control over another person. Mm. When that person feels they have no freedom to exercise yeah. their own will or have a voice. That is an abusive or an oppressive relationship, and yeah. that's not healthy. There's nothing in Scripture that defines that as something God has designed or intends for us to stay in.
Yes.
So when it happens through means other than physical coercion or control, then it becomes psychological or emotionally abuse, or yes. emotionally abusive. So this is emotional abuse happens through another person's words, mm. their attitudes, or their actions toward you. But the wounds are not always on the outside. They're not. They're on the heart, which someone might say, well, that's better than being on the outside. I'm not sure. You know,
no.
there's this point in which the wounds of the heart, they last yeah. even longer.
Yeah. Well, a bruise heals much quicker than a heart,
exactly.
heart bruise.
Or, yeah.
yeah.
And sadly, you know, you read some stories of women who'd say, you know, I would rather him go ahead and hit me,
mm.
you know, or yeah. I'd rather almost face the physical than the mental. Or emotional
yeah.
abuse. And that's horrific.
It
Neither is. Of those should ever be something that we settle for.
Yes.
So we should never think that because they're not seen, that because they're hidden, that they're any less
yeah.
Damaging for a person. Emotional abuse can cause someone to question their worth, their own sanity. You know, am I losing my mind? I
yes.
thought what was happening here was wrong, but this person keeps telling me it's not, that it's all my fault. It just gets to a very difficult spot that, again, the wounds really run deeper than even physical abuse. So
yeah.
let's work on a definition for emotional abuse then. What yeah. is that? I would say it is someone who exercises power control through their words, mm. attitudes, or actions in order to control or silence you. And it is ongoing, it's unrepentant, and it is hurtful.
Yeah.
I think that's a good working definition. We're
going
to keep referring to that again today. Again, someone who's exercising power or control over you through non-physical approaches, their yeah. words, their attitudes or actions in order to silence you or control you.
Yeah.
That's a shame.
Yeah. It is. Yeah. It is. I think it's also important to know what is not abuse as
it's
well.
True. It's true.
And because we live in a culture that is so self-focused and we mm-hmm. love to cancel anybody that might hurt their feelings.
That's true.
Yeah. So what is not abuse is whenever you feel triggered by somebody, whenever you just don't like somebody's opinions,
yep.
When people hurt your feelings in a different way than what we're talking about,
yeah,
but
your feelings are going to be hurt.
They're
going to
be hurt. Yes, they
That's
are.
Just a natural part of life.
That is.
Roseanne hurts mine every day.
Every
so.
Day. I'm sorry. sorry, it's also not abuse whenever you don't agree with somebody's beliefs, because you're going to encounter many people who do not
true.
Believe the same way you do,
yep.
Whether they're wrong or right.
Yep.
They're awkward or weird. Just because they're awkward or weird does not mean that they are abusing you.
That's true.
And also someone you just don't get along with. There's a big difference between those and emotional abuse.
That is true.
And these behaviors that as followers of Jesus, we have to be patient. We have to forgive.
Yep.
We are called to grace. We are called to be slow in anger and also show mercy.
Yeah. I mean, that's just part of walking out the Christian life.
It is.
I mean, that's stuff we do within the church, stuff we do within family. Everybody's different.
Yeah.
Different perspectives, different thoughts, different ideas, different personalities, different sense of humor, different communication styles,
yeah.
all of that. And so you use the graces,
yes.
you know, to seek unity, to
That's
try
right.
to keep the spirit of unity, the unity of the spirit within the church, within a family, as much as possible.
Yes.
But what we're talking about today is a little bit different.
Yeah.
It doesn't fit within the confines of, well, you just keep showing them mercy,
yes.
you know, or just show grace for that.
Yes.
Abuse is different.
Yes.
And again, we're talking about behavior that is ongoing, unrepentant, and is damaging, and it seeks to control. Again, one of the things you find in Scripture, I think, is this idea of this. It is extreme, and it is ongoing.
Mm.
It's repetitive. And Scripture really has some pretty serious things to say about behavior like that. And this is the, you're going to hear some verses I'm going to read here, and you've probably never heard them in a context of thinking about abuse, much less emotional abuse.
Yeah.
But when you read Galatians 5 and it starts talking about the works of the flesh or the outworkings of someone who's just living not in the Spirit, here's what it defines. It says, the works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, revelries, and the like. That's quite a list.
That's a list, yeah.
Those are all damaging behaviors. And he goes on, he says, of which I tell you beforehand, just as I also have told you in time past, that those who practice, they ongoingly practice, they didn't have a one-time event, and they who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God.
Mm.
So here's the Bible saying, if these are ongoing behaviors in a person's life, it's pretty clear evidence that they don't know the Spirit of God. They don't have the Spirit of God within them. They're just operating out of the flesh, and they will not inherit the kingdom of God. That's pretty serious. So again, we're talking about behaviors today that I think are into that category and God deals with on a very serious level.
Yeah.
We also read in 2 Timothy a similar list. Timothy's talking about the end times, but he says something about people who are like this, who are abusive. It's their character, it's their ongoing actions and behavior. Listen to what it says. But know this, that in the last days, perilous times will come. For men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure other than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying its power. Mm. What? These are people then within, he says, the context of the faith who have a, they say they have a form of godliness, but this is their real life. This is their behavior. This is their ongoing way of living. And he says, and from such people, turn away. Mm. There should be a marked response that says, we will not put up with this kind of behavior.
Yes.
This is not allowed in the context of the faith community.
Yes.
So God elevates abusive behavior to that level. One, people who live this way, it's evident they don't belong to the kingdom.
Yeah.
Two, you should turn away from them if that is their approach and lifestyle. But also know this, that God is moved to remove and protect those who are abused.
Yes.
Yeah, that's the good news for today. So Psalm 103:6 says, the Lord executes righteousness and justice for all who are oppressed.
That's right.
So if you are in an oppressive situation, an abusive situation, the Lord himself, the Lord Almighty, the mighty warrior, he wants to execute righteousness and justice for you. That's a good word
for
us
today.
For anyone who is struggling in any of these situations. Yeah.
Feel that peace that just fills you.
There you go.
Yes. Yeah. I think it's important to do to talk about the definition again of what exactly emotional abuse is.
Yeah.
That when someone exercises power over another through words, attitudes, actions, in order to control or to silence them.
Mm.
And it's ongoing, it's unrepentant, and it's hurtful.
Yeah.
And all of this can happen in many different types of relationships. It can be whether it's husband to wife or wife to husband. It's parent to child, adult child to parent, family, friendships.
It can happen to any of those. You're going to hear us today. We're going to lean toward this idea of maybe it's happening to a woman inside a marriage, but I want to make sure we understand all of these are potentials.
Yes.
You know, it can happen in any relationship format. Sadly, it can happen in a church.
It can,
It can happen from people well-meaning. Well, I won't say well-meaning people. It can happen with people in the church that you think should be well-meaning.
There you go,
So So, all right. Well, let's define what we're talking about today then in terms of what does it look like? Mm. What is emotional abuse? How do you know if you are maybe struggling at the hands of or suffering at the hands of it?
Yeah.
Here's a list of some items that I think show up and form emotional abuse. If you are in a relationship where there is just constant criticism, where you can't do anything right, and everything you do, everything you think, everything you bring to the table is criticized, there's something wrong in that relationship.
Yes.
If there are ongoing harsh words, it's just the constant that the words are harsh, they're mean, they're spiteful. If there is ongoing anger and yelling, that's not healthy. It's not natural. It should not be happening. It shouldn't be allowed.
Mm-mm.
If there's constant pushing blame back on you, if there's never any acceptance of responsibility from the other person, but if it is always blame shifted onto you, you're always the problem. That's a form of emotional abuse.
Yes.
If the person that you're speaking with or relating to, if they ongoingly are dismissing your pain or your feelings, if they're telling you it's not that bad, you don't know what you're talking about, you're just making that up, that's twist. That's abuse.
Yes.
You see that in gaslighting, as a term that's popular today, where someone tries to make you think, you know, well, you're crazy, you don't know what you're talking about, that's not what happened. And it has this very damaging effect where you start questioning your own sanity. Well, maybe I did remember that wrong. Maybe I am the one that's wrong here. That's just so like the enemy
of
our soul, you know, who accuses and threatens and casts doubt, who wants to destabilize your confidence and shake you so that you can't trust in God and stand up on your own two feet.
Yeah.
This is all emotional abuse. If someone refuses to listen to you or someone tells you that they know your motives and they're evil, that is emotional abuse.
Yeah, it is.
Whew, I have to stop, take a breather on this one because I've been in this place before. I've been accused of many things in life and in ministry even. And some of the ones have been certain that they knew my motives and that they were evil. And when you get in that situation, there's no good answer for it.
Yeah.
You know, you try to explain yourself and they say, oh, yeah.
Because they're certain of what they've said.
Oh, they're confident. And you add into the fact that it happens within the faith context and somehow they say, oh no, God told me. Mm. Like, okay, well, wow. I lose, you know, I'm done here. And so in those kind of situations, it's a loss. You can never win apart from just admitting they're right.
Yes.
That is abuse.
That is
tyrannical control. One person attempting to dominate and silence you.
Yes.
Woo. Okay.
And I just want to point out that it can also, multiple of these can be happening in a relationship at the same time.
That is true. Yeah. These are not individual
characteristics.
These are not, that you're right. They often show up in multiples.
Yes.
It's true.
Yes.
Yeah. If someone uses silent treatment or pouting in order to try to get you to behave a certain way, or if they are insulting, demeaning, if they call you names, if they're shaming, if there's a continual reminder of your past mistakes, if someone is trying to control you, where you go, what you do, wanting to know everything about where you are, what you're doing, that's a form of manipulation, control. It's not healthy.
Yeah.
Someone who's, again, shutting you down every time you try to speak, every time you're attempting to share your feelings, you get shut down. If someone's intimidating you because of their position or their size or any kind of threat, if someone is threatening to take their life because of you, that's emotional abuse.
Yes, it is.
If someone is threatening to tell people things about you, whether they're true or not, to expose you, to tell lies about you, to gossip about you, to expose some secret they know about you, if they're using that as a tool against you, that's abusive.
Manipulation. Yeah.
If the behavior Here's one that's tricky. Let's say a person maybe does some of these things and they've done them and you've pointed them out and they repent and they say they're sorry. And then they do it again.
Yes.
And you point it out again and they say, I'm sorry, I'm sorry, I'm sorry. And then you do it, they do it again. And then you still say you're sorry. It's like, wait a minute, how many times am I supposed to do this? And I know the answer.
Yeah.
70 times seven.
That's right.
But sadly, people use that or think that that means they are supposed to stay inside an abusive relationship because of that. But I'm confident that's not what Jesus was talking about.
You don't have to stay in that cycle.
Right. Forgiving is one thing, but putting yourself in an abusive situation is something very different.
Yes.
So again, these are all behaviors that are designed to oppress and restrict, to push down, to silence, to be tyrannical. And the Bible, again, tells the story of God's people finding themselves under tyranny. The children of Israel find themselves in Egypt and they're slaves. And the Bible says that they cry out to God. And when they do, he sends a deliverer. And we know that deliverer is Moses. And he goes in, and what does he go to do? To set his people free. And God uses him, and he does. But when you get into that spot where you are being emotionally abused, it's a difficult spot because of the abuse that it causes on you. But man, it is also one the enemy loves.
Yeah.
Especially when you feel this sense of, I'm not supposed to say anything. I'm supposed to just be quiet and just suffer.
He just wants to take your voice away.
Yes.
Yeah.
The enemy loves that moment.
He does. He does. And you know, some of those lies that the enemy will just constantly try to put in you as you've been manipulated, you've been trapped, that this is your fault. This is happening to you because you did this. It is your fault.
Yep.
Or if I suffer enough, then maybe they will change. And that's just, it's heartbreaking.
It is.
It's heartbreaking. You just find continue.
Women in marriage again. Yes. In situations like that where the husband is emotionally abusive, even sometimes physically abusive, and they believe that lie.
Yes. Yes. Whew. They do. And that this is God's will for me to suffer. And that's not true.
Right.
If I were a better Christian, then this wouldn't be happening. It just stings.
Yeah.
It just stings. This one especially, I have no right to say anything because I'm not perfect.
Yeah, these are, to me, they all have the tone of the enemy in the garden.
Yes, just defeat.
Has God really said, just casting doubt, casting a gap between you and God, casting a gap between you and your confidence, the blessing that God's given you. Yeah.
And you can't, it's getting me fired up. I'm trying to think of how to say it. This, these voices, they come in a very loud, obnoxious, demeaning voice. It doesn't come in the still quiet of his voice.
Love that. Love that. Yep.
Another one we hear a lot is, if I pray harder, then this will get better. And prayer is so important.
It is
so important, but it doesn't mean if you pray harder.
Yeah. Right. And we should cry out to God in the midst of it.
We
God,
should.
God is moved by that.
Yes.
But, anything that sounds like I should do more and then this will.
Yes.
That takes on more of a tone of guilting.
It does. It does. And it traps you even deeper into what you're in. People will look down on me if they know.
Yeah.
And man, that can go across the board in so many ways. Right. If they know that I've messed up, if they know I've done this, if they know I'm treated that way. And generally that's not true. When somebody hears you're in a situation, they want to be there for you.
Exactly.
But the enemy is going to keep you trapped in that lie.
Yeah, I mean, this is the function of the church, is to gather and rally around those who are hurt, those who are in need.
Yes.
And I've seen it countless times when it's a woman or it's a man or it's a child, whatever it is.
Yeah.
The minute they have said, hey, I'm struggling in this situation. Mm. In fact, I'm suffering in this situation. I have seen God's people rally countless times.
Yes.
And be the provider and the protector for that one who will cry out.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. We also think that you have to keep up a good face and fake it till you make it. It's not a good one. I've lived that one a lot, but it is not, you faith it till you make it.
There you go.
I know we're not giving conclusions here, but faith it till you make it. That was Brian's line.
Yeah.
I can't tell anyone else this is happening because it would be disrespectful to him. Yeah.
What he's doing is not respectful.
No, it is not.
So no. It needs to be dealt with.
Yes. I'm supposed to forgive them 70 times times seven, which means allowing myself to be abused.
Yeah.
And no one would believe me if I told them what was happening.
Mm.
Or I can save them.
Yeah. Mm. It's sad. This list is a reflection of things we've heard.
Yeah.
Believed, thought.
Yeah.
And heard other people say and believe. So it's sad because this just reveals how deep this goes.
Yeah.
These all speak down to the depths of your heart and they start to affect how you see God,
yeah.
how you see other people, how you relate, and you start to isolate, and you start to pull away, and it affects your view of God, like, he must be angry at me,
yeah.
he must be against me, and I can't
punishing
do anything
me.
Right. Yeah, he's punishing me. Oh, you see why the enemy loves this?
Yes.
Because it's the ultimate wedge
yeah.
between a person and God and a person and other people who can help. Yeah, I just imagine if you've been a part of these.
Yeah.
Some of this may be even bringing back some of those feelings or thoughts
yes.
from the past. I feel some of that myself, you know,
yeah.
I feel the emotion, the rust, the adrenaline through all of that.
Yeah.
But it speaks to how important it is to be honest
yes.
about these and allow Christ to come in and heal in those areas.
Mm.
But if you keep it covered, then there can't ever be healing.
That's right.
But when it's brought to the light, as he is in the light, then there can be healing, there can be redemption, there can be hope,
yeah.
and there can be restoration.
Yes.
It's important.
And it's beautiful.
If you don't heal, then your heart becomes calloused.
Yes.
And a lot of damaging effects.
It can. Yeah. And then it can have damaging effects in relationships you have that are to come or to try to keep.
It's true.
Yeah.
It's true. So, and think about some of the symptoms, man, there's a whole host of
symptoms. Oh, there's
that
a ton.
Follow from this.
Yes. So. You can feel insecure, not just in who you are, but in your choices. You lack confidence in making decisions. You have feelings of worthlessness and depression, anxiety. And again, these are all things that you don't have. Well, it's not that you don't have to, that you may be feeling more than one of these.
It's true.
So depression, anxiety, isolation, you withdraw from many things, which then just increases these other symptoms.
Yes.
You have emotional ups and downs.
Yep.
You have trouble developing and keeping relationships. And then you can also have physical symptoms like insomnia, trouble sleeping. Your immune system is lower because we know that there are spiritual issues along.
That's true.
Spiritual roots to your issues. So your lowered immune system, lots of illnesses and sicknesses and unexplained pains. And when you don't allow yourself to heal, and if you're not healed, then these behaviors repeat and it can become a generational pattern.
Yeah. That's sad.
It's sad. It's just heartbreaking.
Just cycles just repeated.
Yes.
And, you know, if you've been in a family where you've seen some of this,
yes.
you recognize it. You recognize, yes. okay, well, that's what, grandpa did, and that's
yes.
what, you know, my great grandpa did, and that's yes. what my dad did, and it's sad.
It's sad because you can't sit in that because
no.
you are going to break that curse.
Yeah, that's what we're called to
yes,
in Christ is to see Jesus come in and allow him to break the chain and establish new generational patterns that
yes.
that bring blessing and
yeah.
healing. You don't want to pass that on to your kids. You don't want
no.
to pass that on to future generations. You want to be the breaker of the chain, breaker
yeah.
of the pattern. So.
Yeah.
It kind of brings us to our place today is, well, you know, what do you do? I think we've kind of laid out now what it looks like, what can happen if it's going on in your life, but what do you do? What do
yeah.
you do if this is happening? I'd say number one, just know that it's not healthy to not do anything, to just sit in it.
Yeah.
That's not healthy. There's plenty of verses that talk about forgiveness and patience, in suffering even. But there is also plenty that talk about crying out to God in our suffering so that there can be deliverance. And I think that would a close number two, or I would put it number one also, is know that God is interested in your heart, more interested in your heart than you staying in the house with the person who is abusive.
Yes.
I was talking to someone recently who was discussing a very similar situation. And when I told them that, they just instantly broke in relief, in tears, because they had concluded that this was just their lot in life, to just stay in pain. And so it's important to know that God is more concerned with your heart and your health, your healing, and your walk with Him than He is, I'll say, even than in your marriage remaining in the same way that it currently is.
Yeah.
Just to keep up the front, to keep up the look.
Just remaining locked up in everything that it is, instead of finding freedom.
His goal is for your health. Mm. It's also for the health of your marriage.
Yeah.
But that has to start with an individual becoming healthy.
Yes.
He'll never diminish the health of the individual for the sake of the outward look of the marriage.
That was good. Yeah.
It's important.
Yeah.
It's important for men and women to know this.
Yes.
Psalm 147:3 says that He heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds. But for the Lord to heal a broken heart and bind up a wound, they have to first be placed in His hands.
Yes.
You have to get close enough for Him to touch your heart, and close enough for Him to touch your wounds.
Yes.
And so He is interested in your healing. He's also interested in the abuser being held accountable.
Yeah.
Because abuse is sin.
Yes.
And that must be dealt with. It's not to be allowed. It's not to be overlooked. It's not to be shown mercy to. It's to be dealt with. And the abused needs to be healed. All of that needs to happen. God is more interested in that. So I'd say to you, if you're a woman in an abusive marriage, even an emotionally abusive marriage, don't believe the lie that says that you have to submit to the abuse.
Yes.
When the Bible talks about submission in Ephesians, wives, submit to your husband, a very, you know, misquoted, misused passage, it's talking about the relationship of Jesus and the church. So before we define anything else about husband and wife, we have to understand that model first. And what is the model of Jesus and the church? It is Jesus, Savior, laying down His life, and the church responding and loving in response to that love. Mm. And it's not Jesus forcing His hand.
Yes.
It's not Jesus manipulating. It's not Jesus being a tyrant over. It's not Jesus threatening. It's not Jesus taking advantage of. It's not Jesus forcing obedience from the church. You don't even find that in Scripture. You find Him laying down His life for her to win her heart so that she might love Him with all of her heart, soul, mind, and strength.
Yes.
That's not forced. That's not beaten into submission. That's not threatened. That's not coerced.
Yes.
That's not guilted or shamed into place.
Yeah.
And so don't interpret submit as intentionally placing yourself in a hurtful, damaging, oppressive situation, because that is not the model there. It's a model of a woman who, because of the love that is shown, because of the sacrifice, because of the heart of a Savior, a husband toward her, she intentionally, willingly loves in return. So let's get the model straight before we make any applications here. So that means that if you're in a situation where he has left his responsibilities and is not fulfilling them in being like Jesus to the church, then it's time for something to be done.
Yes.
It's time for something to happen. Now, I'm not saying that that means immediate divorce and leaving.
That's right.
There's some options and some spaces in between. That may be an option later, but there are some spaces in between. Let's talk about what happens then next. Then what do you do if that's the case? I'd say remind yourself of the promises of God for who you are. because abuse has a way of, or the enemy has a way of using abuse to try to steal away your identity.
Yes.
To make you think, you deserve this. This is who you are. This is who you're always going to be. This is who you are. You're pain. You're worthless. Yes. You mean nothing. You have nothing. And you deserve nothing.
Yes.
So resist all of that and remind yourself of the promises of God of who you are.
Yes. Listen to that still quiet voice. Yeah, keep going. You are a child of God.
Yes. You are chosen. Yes. You are loved. You are accepted. You are promised and seated with Him in heavenly places. You've been forgiven. You are eternally loved. You are secure in Him. All of that's important to remind yourself of so that you can gain your footing and your voice back.
Yes. So when those thoughts come in, you have a firm foundation that you're standing on that you can just take that captive and replace it with His truth.
Yes. And when you've got your feet, you've got your voice and you're ready, then it's time to have a conversation.
Yes.
With the one who has been hurting you. Mm. Now, I'd say that's time to pray, make sure you pray for clarity of your thoughts and emotions, your words. And then when you have that conversation, it's important to explain your pain. To say, here's where I am. Here's what I'm walking through right now. Here's what I'm feeling. And then explain your desire to want to love them. I think that's important as Jesus followers, depending upon their relationship, you commit your commitment to them and explain your desire to love them. But this is also the place to explain your boundary.
Yes.
Of what you will allow and what you won't.
Yes. Because if you don't lay out your expectations or your desire of what the boundary is to be, then they don't even know where to go from that. But if you also go in with expectations of what they're going to do, then a lot of times that can make what you're coming in with not cancel out, but just like Brian said, that praying for your thoughts, your emotions, your words, going forth with what his desire to come out of that.
Yeah. Exactly. And, again, if it's a marriage relationship, he wants there to be restoration, reconciliation, so that your marriage looks like Jesus and the church. Mm-hmm. That's the goal.
That is,
Now, that takes two people to make that happen, but it's important to explain your commitment, explain the pain, explain your boundary of what you will do and what you won't allow in the situation. And I'd say to you, if in thinking about that makes you fear for your safety or fear for your sanity, that indicates how great a problem this is.
Yes.
There should not be a place where you feel like, well, I just can't talk to him about those things.
Yes.
Hello.
Yeah.
That's the engine light coming on. It's time to get to the shop.
Yes.
That means you probably should involve someone else in the process. Yeah. If you can't even have that kind of conversation, then there's a problem.
Yeah.
And so if you can't do this on your own, then I'd say it's time to seek the help of a believing counselor.
Yeah.
Someone you trust who also follows Jesus and will direct you in the path of Scripture.
Yes.
It can help you in that moment. And it might be that you ask that both of you go to see the counselor. It can be very helpful to have a third party in the room to help walk through the struggle, explain the pain, and find the place of healing. And then I'd say if all of this leads to a place where that person becomes more heated, more emotionally abusive, then that is an indicator it's time to separate for a time, to remove yourself out of that situation until there can be healing and repentance. And that kind of separation is part of the biblical model, because there's been times where someone has made that choice to step away from an abusive situation, and the person has said, oh my goodness, I didn't realize it was at that level.
Yeah.
Well, that's what's intended to happen. It's meant to be, engine light come on moment. It's meant to be a shock to the system. Like, wait a minute. My life just got disrupted here. They just walked out of the house.
Yes.
They just packed their bags.
Different realizations of the reality.
Exactly. Yeah. When you can't sense the spirit talking to you and you can't sense emotion and words talking to you, then maybe you'll understand physical separation. That's the goal here.
Yes.
So that may be necessary. And if that's the case, I really hope that you're involved in a church environment where you can find the help that you need there.
Yes.
That's part of the church's responsibility is to care for the one who is displaced, the one who is hurting, the one who's in need.
Yes.
So a good church will provide that for you. Maybe it's in the women's ministry. Maybe it's if you're a man in the men's ministry. Maybe it's in with a pastor or an elder at the church who can help during that time. A good church will help you and come alongside you in
that
moment and will want to seek your health and ultimately restoration as much as possible. I'd say there are also nonprofit organizations and even some governmental organizations that will help in times of emotional abuse.
Yes.
You just get on your computer, on your phone, and on Google, type in emotional abuse. Up will come countless agencies, organizations, ministries that you can call on to help. Most of them will provide counseling. Some will provide housing, help for you in your time of need. So, make use of those.
Yes. I want to say one more thing really quick on
the
talking to somebody. Number one, that it's so important that they're a believer because the world will lead you to many other conclusions and a lot of times more pain because you're going to get just deeper in the mud heap that you're in. But I think it's also important if you feel like you can't go to a counselor, if you feel like you're not able to make that step, you need to confide in a friend who is also a believer. I think
that's
of
good.
One of the situations we had here who was somebody who was in abuse, that it was their friend who made the first breakthrough. And then healing began, and very, very long story, but you do not do this alone. Don't
it's
stand
true.
Alone in it. Yeah.
It's true. Because that's what the body's designed for. There are gifts within the body of Christ that are meant to be sensitive and caring and helpful and protective.
Yes.
And because the enemy loves you isolated.
Yes.
Because if you can stay isolated, then he can whisper and yell
at you. Yes.
And if that's all you've got in your ear, that's most likely what you're going to believe.
Yes.
But when you surround yourself with other people who are speaking truth to you and hope, then that becomes more of what's in your ear.
Yes.
Yeah.
And on the loudness, one last thing, the loudness that you're saying on the enemy's lies, because then it'll also be mixed with the emotional abuse you've been going through.
Mm.
So he will repeat the lies that this person has been placing on you as well
to
where you feel like you're just going crazy.
Exactly.
So,
and you'll hear things like, see, you're just permanently damaged.
Yes.
You're damaged goods.
Lies.
You're never going to be anything. No one's ever going to love you. God has turned his back on you. You know, if you give up on this, he'll curse your life. All of that. They're just lies from the enemy that happen in isolation, especially.
Yes.
So
yes.
I'd say finally, and it's so important to remember the promises of God to you. So let's just talk about a few of these here just to encourage us all.
Yes.
Psalm 12, verse 5. For the oppression of the poor, for the sighing of the needy, now I will arise, says the Lord. I love that because you get all of the emotional word pictures in there. For the oppression of the poor, for the one who is, he's without, she's without, and she's just oppressed. She's beat down.
Yeah.
And for the sighing of the needy, you know, a person, we all know this feeling where you're just like, for that, the Lord says, now I'm going to arise.
Yes.
He gets up.
He's
seated on his throne, but there's some things he'll get up for.
Yes.
And that's one of them.
Yes.
So again, you read this in Exodus 3, when the children of Israel are in Egypt, it says, and the Lord said, I have surely seen the oppression of my people who are in Egypt and have heard their cry because of their taskmasters. For I know their sorrows. So I have come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians and to bring them up from that land to a good and large land, to a land flowing with milk and honey.
Yes.
There's the deliverer God.
Yes.
Who says, I see, and when you cry, I hear and I move. It's a good word
for
anyone who's caught into it. Don't believe the lie that silence is your only option. Cry out to God and cry out to the people of God around you.
Yes.
And then finally, this was the very mission statement of Jesus. So when he starts his ministry, he makes this bold statement. It's a quote from Isaiah, but it's recorded for us in Luke 4. It says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me," in other words, called, chosen, equipped me, "to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed." Mm. Jesus will come to your rescue when you cry out to him.
Yes.
Because he is ultra sensitive to those groups. The poor, the brokenhearted, the captive, the blind, and the oppressed.
Yeah.
So if you are in an emotionally oppressive relationship today, Jesus will hear your cry when you lift up your voice to him, when you call out to him and call out to God's people. He will respond and he will meet your needs. So I want to offer a couple of resources today that I've read and are very helpful. One of them is a book called Is It Me? It's got two subtitles. It's called Making Sense of Your Confusing Marriage, but I like the other subtitle, A Christian Woman's Guide to Hidden Emotional and Spiritual Abuse. Man, to hidden emotional and spiritual abuse. What do you do when you're stuck in that moment and you're asking the question, is it me? Mm. So a great book is by Natalie Hoffman. Another one similar is called Is It Abuse? A Biblical Guide to Identifying Domestic Abuse and Helping Victims by Darby A. Strickland. A good book as well. I think you'll find it probably most bookstores, online book sources. Great identifying what abuse looks like, how to respond to it. And then some short books by June Hunt, a counselor from Hope for the Heart Ministries, that I found helpful. And they're almost like quick resource guides. So it's not a long read, but I mean, you get a lot of information pretty quickly. One on a related subject called Spiritual Abuse, Breaking Free from Religious Control. Mm. Boy, that can happen in churches. It can happen in families and friendships, groups even. And then one called Dysfunctional Family, Making Peace with Your Past, How to Recognize Dysfunctional Family, what that looks like, and how to break free from situations. And finally, Verbal and Emotional Abuse, How to Find Victory over Those. So all of those are helpful guides. And it's such a good day to live in which we have resources available at our fingertips.
Yeah.
Again, you'll find plenty online. Just look for those who are Jesus following, scripture affirming believers who will counsel you in the right direction. Because the goal is not to just further you in your pain, to replay and recycle it through and remain bitter, but to be free from the relationship and from the wounds upon the heart. And Jesus can do that. He can bring beauty even from ashes. So thank you, Roseanne.
I'm happy to be here. Thank you.
And plenty of resources available, and then plenty of sources here, even at Vertical Church.
Yes.
Come join us, see what God's doing here. We're seeing freedom happen. We're seeing people set free. We're seeing addictions broken. We're seeing marriages healed. We're seeing people find freedom from oppressive situations, relationships, and find healing in those, and often even restoration of the relationship.
Yes.
So again, thank you for being with us today. I hope it's been helpful to you. We're going to keep lifting him up and living him out.